Dan is, we can hear everybody at this point.
Okay.
And
so, yeah. Then let's get started if we're ready to go.
Michael Bontemps, can you hear me?
Who's that?
John,
yeah. You guys are just going to have to speak with articulation and clearly, please. October 25th, 2022, Planning Commission working meeting for the, what's the title now? Accessible Housing Forum?
There's one thing you have to...
Okay. Commissioners present are Matthew Cochran, Tina Carlson, Elena Hughes, Colleen Thompson, and John Varanth. I'm going to turn it over to Tina and John, who are leading the working meeting, and it's your agenda tonight. So we're scheduled to end at 8 o'clock, so let's just be mindful of that. Thanks.
Okay. Let's just talk really quickly about what we're going to call this. And I think it's more of a presentation than a meeting necessarily. I'm going to suggest the attainable for affordability housing information presentation. That's too much.
Say that again.
Attainable housing information meeting.
Attainable housing information meeting.
Presentation.
Got it.
Presentation. Okay. So that's the title that I'm going to put out on Pegboard and everything else, correct?
Okay. Real quick point of order here, Matt. Since this is a working session and we do have a lot to cover, is there a reason why you feel we need to adjourn at 8 if people want to excuse themselves and the rest of us can legally continue?
We can continue. I just want to keep in mind that let's just try and stick to the point tonight.
Thank you. Okay, real quick. I put out, I think the other people have it, an outline of the now the information presentation. I'll have Tina talk about the publicity, which so we don't forget that. I've listed an agenda, but the real focus is going to be to have Charlene and Dave Prodine coordinate as far as what they're going to cover. And I'm going to kind of in real time mark up this outline with any additions and deletions and corrections so that we have a plan for the presentation. Peg, could you bring up the document?
I don't have, I'm on my laptop and I don't have access to the documents at all.
All right, well, we'll do it here in person. Okay, so Tina, do you want to talk quickly about publicity, where we are?
I think it needs to happen after this meeting.
Okay, we'll move on. Okay, so Matt, I was intending that you would, as chair, officially open the presentation. And then I was going to give an overview of the meeting, just some general comments to set the flavor. And I have those sort of written out in the outline if people want to look at that. Give time to the elected officials to speak because they're going to be key partners in this. Then have Charlene speak from the standpoint of a housing nonprofit. Have Dave Conine speak. Then we'd go into question and answer, and then wrap up the next step. So that's kind of the agenda. Does anyone have corrections to that?
I'd like to include timing on it.
Okay.
I think that Charlene, Dave, and David, and why is Lee Nellis not on this if he's actually going to be here?
Really, he is our planner.
He's on. He's had to rejoin.
But I don't think he should be on the meeting agenda. This is really to give the elected officials and people who are involved with housing a chance to present information we don't otherwise have.
I also think it's an educational situation for the whole community, not having been, clearly part of this, but I will say that the timing needs to be set for each speaker. And I suggest that Charlene and David are the first people, and then Jerry and Jimmy. Only because then they get to hear what both guys say, and then Jerry can talk about how he's dealt with housing, you know, in the county. It just makes more sense to me, I guess. But I agree with that.
I would agree with you, Tina. And how much time do you imagine?
I was just thinking that Charlene, I mean, 20 minutes for each of them. And I also think that it would be advisable to allow them to have a little question and answer just after they're speaking, just because it's fresh in people's mind when they're talking, and it'd be helpful probably. I also think there should be question and answer at the end of the meeting, but I think that Charlene has, you know, a lot of information to share, and sometimes sharing information is really helpful when you are able to ask the questions and get the answers, you know, directly right after.
Okay. So if they do a 20-minute talk, then have 5 or 10 minutes for questions and answers afterwards to put it at 30 minutes apiece?
Yeah, sure. I don't know if Charlene feels that 20 minutes with questions and answers is appropriate or not. She or David have any comments about that?
I can make that work. Just you give me whatever time you feel like you want to give me, and I can make it work. I do have a lot of information to cover, but I can make it work.
And if you go over, you know, if you need to go over 5 or 10 minutes, I think we can accommodate that. I think it's a 2-hour meeting. Is that correct?
I'm willing to continue the Q&A as long as people want to talk. But I think, you know, 2 hours would be great if we could keep the formal meeting well within that bounds. That's about the limit for people's attention.
Right.
Yeah. And I would suggest, John, just, you know, having seen meetings, is that the final Q&A can extend for as long as people want, but within those frameworks, so everyone gets sort of an equal chance to speak, I think we should keep to that timing.
Okay.
Okay, that's timing. That's what I heard.
Yeah. And, we'll allocate out about 2-hour meeting timing, and we'll put the elected officials after the after Charlene and Dave. Dave, you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay, great. I guess real question here. I was suggesting it'll happen anyway, but that we open the town hall a while before the 7 o'clock meeting start, and just allow any informal discussion and have some of these documents available for people to look at. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. As long as there's some cookies.
you know, we might actually have budget for that. Okay. Very good. As far as those documents, I think everyone's got what I present. The main one I think that we should be talking about both tonight and at the meeting is the Planning Commission Housing Work Group Final Report from 2018. Since a lot of effort went into that, there was a lot of community involvement, and then things like COVID happened and we lost momentum. So I see us really picking up from where that final report left off. So I see that as being kind of the key document. The Garfield County Moderate Income Housing Plan, I think we should have available a few copies so people could look at, just because it's got a lot of good quantitative information, age distribution, income distribution, housing statistics, and so forth. And we can have Peg have this up on the web as soon as possible. Then we have the Boulder Community Assessment from 2017. Colleen or Tina, want to talk about that and the process that went into it? Or
I'm slightly confused on the timing of that, but yeah, I guess they came in and did assessments on the community, and then we had our housing forum. So there's good information in there.
I don't think we need to talk about it.
No, I think we should have it available for people to look at. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I wonder if there's more. Are there more copies of that?
And as I say, I did look at the PDF of it and can get that to Peg to put on the web.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So those be the main doc. Tina, you talked about maps, posters, whatever. As we go through tonight, if there's any figures in this that you think we should get blown up as wall posters or something, I can arrange to get that happening.
Okay.
All right.
I also thought on this informational thing that there'd be a way for people to actually know how to comment the Planning Commission, either by email or also to include some kind of tablet that they could put their name in saying, I'm interested in participating in this. I'd like to know, you know, be contacted when discussions or whatever we're going to go forward with.
Yeah, excellent suggestion. I was thinking of actually having some signups because I think one of the next steps are a couple work groups. And I think having the signup sheets, although we may have to do some arm twisting and recruitment, but certainly, and then also just a signup sheet for people who've attended, want further information, and they could also sign up if they participate electronically. Great. Okay. So this is an informational presentation. We'll remember that. I'll slip up tonight. One thing I wanted to point out, with everyone's permission, is that although this is being organized by the Boulder Planning Commission, it's really a community-wide issue. And if affordable housing is created in the Draw or Salt Gulch, it's just as valuable to us as a community. So I think in terms of when we start talking about solutions and work groups, we really think about the entire Boulder community, the 84716 zip code.
I agree. And in some ways, Boulder, even though parts of it aren't in city limits, they're like neighborhoods, right? Like the Draw, like North Boulder, like Lower Boulder, Salt Gulch, and even having working groups within each of those quote neighborhoods might be valuable.
Yeah. The other thing, Matt, you brought up scale. I think that's important to talk about right at the start, that we're not talking about the town providing housing. We're talking about removing ordinance barriers that make it hard for people who want to carry out a project. And we're not talking about big subdivisions or apartment complexes. We're talking about individual projects, one or two house scale at a time, where a landowner is willing to support affordable housing. So I think has been a concern I've heard in one-to-one conversations.
Yeah, I think that will quell a fear of some of the public if that's stated outright.
I don't think we have Elizabeth online tonight, do we? Okay. At some point, I'll see if she wants to get a statement from the school superintendent. Yeah, I know he won't be able to attend, but I think the housing is an important thing to the viability of the schools. So then, Charlene, we're up to you. And, I gave a whole list of things I hoped you would be able to talk about, but maybe you could comment on what you really want to say instead of what I said I thought you wanted.
Well, I think that the first thing and the most important thing is to know who needs this stuff. Who needs attainable housing? And what are their wishes and desires? And what does the community want? What Boulder wants is not what Escalante wanted. What they chose a fourplex. The design that they chose is what they got. It's kind of stuck out in the middle of nowhere right now because the outside's not done. So I think the most important thing is know your audience, know who you're trying to, is it seasonal housing? Do we need to look at tiny homes? Do you need to look at what do you need as a Boulder community? I think that's number one. That's the most important part. and then design it the way that Boulder wants. We worked with Tropic to do their single family homes. I don't know if you've seen those, but they turned out really cute and they love them. And that's what they wanted. So it is not my job to say what you all should have. It's your, as a community, you get to decide what you want. And then my nonprofit can come in and help identify funding and put the deals together. And that, I mean, you will find that even Jerry will and Dave will probably tell you that these deals are hard to put together, finding funding for these things. And so, especially in a very difficult economic time like what we've faced. And so I will have a presentation that will show you some of the things that we've done, but in no way does the town of Boulder need to do what other people do. They need to do what they want. And I think that's what's most important.
Sounds great. Do you think, Charlene, do you need to know at this point what Boulder wants as far, at least on a general level? Yeah.
I don't, not yet, not until you all decide who you're serving and what you want, and then identify the barriers that you have that might prevent you from serving those people that, and I shouldn't say those people, but serving and being able to provide the attainable housing. For instance, the project that we did in Esplanade, it's got three little kids in there now. We're building families. And that's what their goal was to try to help support the school and provide a place for young families to get started as they progress towards home ownership. Now, home ownership is going to be pretty tough to attain in the next year or two because of the high interest rates. I mean, they could be paying up to $1,000 more in a monthly payment. And you know what property goes for in Boulder. I mean, it's expensive. And so these young families, if they want to stay in Boulder and put down roots in Boulder, becoming a homeowner might be a little out of their reach right now. And so that's where you've got to decide as a community what you want to do. There are programs. I will identify programs that we can build single family homes and they can be leased to own and they're beautiful and they work. There's Dave will get into the USDA and how that can really come to the town and help. And I'm guessing that Boulder's going to want more single family homes than they are multifamily situations. But single family homes can certainly be done. There's programs out there that can do it.
Great. Thank you. That's really valuable, helpful. Are there any other questions from the commission for Charlene?
I don't really have a question. This is Colleen. I do have a kind of a statement, and that's like Charlene was saying, I think one of the big things in Boulder is the not transient people that come here, but the what's the word I want to use? Seasonal people that come here. That's one of our big, I think it is an issue for Boulder as far as looking at places for people who are seasonal that come and go. And so there's that for us too, I think.
Yeah, we sort of have a few different sort of parties of housing issues. And yeah, right. One is the seasonal and the other is really the younger people, families that want to stay here full time and are unable to buy land. So and that's something we need to find out about, really from the public and from the town, is one of those a priority over another, and obviously who you are your priority might be different depending on if you're running a business or not. So that has employees.
One thing, you know, I've kind of tried to emphasize in my one-to-one conversations is that this is a big problem. Multiple solutions are needed. No one, and we also should try not to look for the perfect project, but the first project that comes together where we have investors, land, the pieces start coming together, even if it's not the ideal one. Every incremental addition to our housing stock is going to relieve the pressure for other people. But one thing, I don't know whether it should be you or Dave, Charlene, but I think we do need to get the quantitative numbers out as far as when people talk moderate income. We're not talking low income housing, and I think who's the best one to talk about what area median income is and how those things work?
Dave, do you want to do that or do you want me to?
There's those figures have moved around a little bit, but I give you a couple of examples. Excuse me. Right now, for example, I ran some numbers a month or so ago. And in Boulder, a family classified as very low income, a family of four at very low income would fit the definition of very low income. And their maximum income would be $41,150 a year. And then, you know, then there's low income is above that, and then moderate. And of course, those all adjust. But I think that with some of the incentives that could be provided to manage single family housing in limited applications on a performance kind of basis that's been talked about already, I think that could be fine-tuned into a very effective mechanism for providing housing that people can afford. And the USDA direct loans right now are 3.25%.
Okay.
And I don't, and that's a new figure, so I don't think it's going to jump up very quickly. And the idea of it is still to keep it affordable. Now, those are obviously subsidized interest rates. So if somebody sells the house, there is a recapture of the interest subsidy. And there's a whole formula for that. That's down the road. Hopefully you don't have to deal with that right away.
Dave, I think that this is great. I think you should be the one who covers that. And maybe it'd be even helpful to have some sort of a handout beforehand, because people have a hard time getting all these numbers in their head. So maybe if we had like a one-page summary of some of the key programs and their income limits and the definitions of, that'd be great.
Definitely. I totally agree. The numbers are always scary if you don't have them in front of you.
Something else I think we should really try to address in this information system, because it was a cause of lack of support for the Burke Trail Meadows project, was the question of, well, how do we make sure that these houses stay affordable and aren't flipped in a year to a second homeowner? So between Charlene and Dave, who could talk about things like deed restrictions and so forth?
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I do deed restrictions on a lot of my projects. We do 15-year deed restrictions on several of the projects. There's also the Community Land Trust. If you've got the resources to get contributed land, the Community Land Trust is a perpetual affordable housing mechanism, which I have started one in it's called the Southwest Utah Community Land Trust, and it covers, right now it's in Washington County, and we are just, we've completely, we're done, we're all set up. But it is tough to find those resources to, because the land costs are never recovered. They are permanently invested. And so therefore donated land or donated resources needs to come to the table on that one. But that has a permanent deed restriction and it rolls. It's a 99-year rolling and it's perpetual and it goes forever.
Well, I think both those are really important for the public to hear if you're able to bring it in, Charlene, about deed restrictions. That's one thing I've seen that people are worried about is a quick turnover and, you know, sort of a loophole, right? So that's something that sort of needs to be buttoned up and clarified.
I totally agree. And there's quite a good body of knowledge on various ways to do this. The deed restrictions and land trusts are really the primary tools. And there's some very successful examples here in Utah. And this is kind of a balancing act because part of what we want to see with housing is that it does enable people to not only be housed, but to build their wealth. And we want to be careful that we don't totally take that away. And I don't think there's much danger of that, especially in the market right now where housing prices are plummeting. But I don't think we're going to be faced with plummeting prices in Boulder anytime soon. The land cost is too high. But I think just the fact that we're already looking at all of the tools that are available to make this work, and if we stay open-minded about them, I think they will work. The Burr Trail Meadows housing was, it provided some important lessons. And I think that, I think there was a fear campaign that was out of proportion to any realistic impact that the housing would have. But I think it was informative. We learned a lot about the community sentiment, and addressing community sentiment is part of what makes a successful project. So.
Very good. Dave, I think you might also want, one of the other things that I think is important is to talk about architectural design and the fact that a duplex or even a fourplex can look very much, look no different than a single family home from the outside. And we have that drawing that Tom Hoyt did for the community work group report. Uh-huh. With maybe some other things. Could you also work into your talk some ideas about how to make the housing look appealing?
Well, I agree. In fact, one of the things that I think has been a big barrier to affordable housing everywhere is that normally we do a pretty poor job of designing it. And a lot of the agencies, nonprofits, and housing authorities that develop affordable housing look at having professional design service as a luxury they cannot afford. And here in Utah, I did an evaluation of a USDA self-help housing project that was horribly designed. They were affordable, but they wasted so much space because of the poor floor plan that I figured out that they would have saved between $6,000 and $8,000 on their average units if they had hired a professional designer, probably an architect. And
Dave, I think that this is clearly, you know, something you're going to be able to weigh in on here. So, yeah, we'll make sure that, okay, Kat, I need to cover some design issues as well. The other key, how are we looking at time here? Okay, all right. Nina, you had something before I move on.
Oh, I was wondering if also the possibility of someone leasing, you know, like 90-year lease sort of type of situation where people don't have to actually buy the property, but they can build on the property. Is that something anybody can speak or have any knowledge of?
That is one.
Yeah, that's the community land trust situation.
I wondered that. Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, I want to just go back and say one thing about design, by the way. So I think what Dave says is really important about good design, because you don't need fancy materials or expensive materials to make a place look good, but you need a good design. And, you know, being a home builder, as many of us are here, we know that you can take stuff out of the dump and refurbish it and make a beautiful house. So just, you know, something to consider. It's sort of one of Boulder's styles, by the way, as funny as that may sound.
I feel curious whether we talk about it now or just have it be on the thing for the actual forum, but Charlene, I feel curious about options for deed restrictions, like not just income ones, but, you know, either year, like what are the options in terms of, can you restrict to just year-round employees? Can you restrict to?
Well, for deed restrictions, you have to be a little careful because you have a fair housing law that you have to take into consideration, but you can owner occupy deed restrict, you can income deed restrict, and you can employment deed restrict. So you can insist that they have some form of employment within the county or within the Boulder limits or within some sort of geographic area. You can restrict it that way. You can restrict it by income. I know that Park City has a bunch of affordable homes where, because my organization does their file reviews, and they serve two zip codes. And if you do not work in one of those two zip codes, then you cannot purchase one of their attainable homes. And it's deed restricted. It's income and deed restricted.
Okay, thanks. And could you talk a little bit about what sort of the arrangements are between you guys, the town, and then the people, like the renters? I guess meaning like how much of that is set by you guys, how much of it is, like how do we all work together, those three pieces?
Okay, it's kind of like it depends on the project. It depends on who owns the project. If it's a community land trust, then the community land trust generally owns the project. It's not our organization. It's not anybody's. It has its own entity and it owns the property. And through a ground lease, a home is built on top of the property and leased through a ground lease. And they only make payments on the home that sits on top of the ground. They do not make payments on the property short of the ground lease. And that makes the monthly payment much more affordable. There's always a resale formula that's determined at the beginning. And there's also a formula that determines how much equity they get at the time of resale. There are several different formulas that can be used, and that's always determined at the beginning, but it just makes it, they don't gain equity as quickly as if they were to able to purchase it on the open market and just buy it outright. But most of these people could not become homeowners at all because they couldn't afford it. And so they can just purchase the building on top, and then they can afford it, and they will accumulate equity that way.
Okay, thank you.
Colleen, do you have any questions?
Not really.
Okay. Well, Matt, with your permission, could I just kind of see if anyone in the audience has any questions before we talk about next, you know, the next thing I want to talk about is the next steps that we present at the end of the meeting. But I thought we're talking more now about the meeting information content. With your permission, Matt, can I ask if anyone's got any questions?
Definitely. I don't know who's in the audience, but that shouldn't matter.
I have a question, Peg.
Yeah.
Can I ask right now?
Yeah.
Charlene, both you and Dave have brought up some very interesting information that clearly needs elaboration. And I'm just wondering if the amount of time that's been allocated that Tina was talking about earlier is likely to cover what, I mean, just the points that you raise about the land trust, the deed restrictions, funding opportunities, USDA, the loans, interest rates, et cetera, and then getting into architectural design. And I mean, I'm not sure if you have time in your 15 minutes or so to cover all this.
We won't be able to get into a significant detail. It will be pretty much an overview. And then if you want to know more, I mean, just on land trusts, I have a 20-minute presentation that I have presented. So if you want more detail, and I would suspect Dave would agree with me, if you want more detail on a specific topic, then that would probably require additional meetings.
So I have a suggestion with that to the commission. And one is for John and Tina, being that, at least in my eyes, that Charlene and Dave are sort of the all-stars here for this meeting with the most valuable information, is there a way to streamline any of the other stuff so we can give them more time? That's one question. The other is, you know, do we have follow-up meetings and for these more specific topics? So,
and that's what I was going to next. Exactly that. Well, I think part of it, one thing that would help is if Dave or Charlene, if there are documents, especially web links that you wanted to call to our attention that are succinct presentations of these things, we could certainly have Peg put them up there. If you've got like a presentation on some particular topic, we could certainly have that as available for people who want further information. So they don't have to take extensive notes during the meeting. Let's see, for the record here, Peg, we've got Dan Pence, Jennifer Geerlings, Mark Nelson, Jennifer Bach, and
Laura McCarricker.
Laura, okay, thank you. I've got a blank. All right, here. So, all right, well, as far as next steps, I see several things that should be taking place because this meeting is much more of a kickoff. I'm hoping we can use the winter to make some real progress. One thing I'm going to say again and again is we don't need another year or two of work groups and discussions to come up with ideas, because plenty of ideas are out there. We need to focus on feasible ideas and see how we can start making progress. I see two real important work groups. One is definitely the community work group, and maybe Elaine, I could twist your arm to be sort of the lead on that. You know, the people who are looking for housing, the workers, what are they looking for? Are they looking for, are we talking singles? Are we talking couples without children? Are we talking couples who want three bedrooms? You know, we need to start, as Charlene said, we need to know that. So we definitely need a work group of people who are interested in moving into housing. I think one piece of the puzzle that has been missing in the past is what I call a housing providers work group. And that's the handful of people we've got in Boulder who own big blocks of land or have real estate investment portfolios elsewhere, and the people who could actually come to the table and with resources to help something like this get moving. And those people need to sort of say, well, what's it going to take for us to make a donation to Neighborhood Works? Or what's it going to take for us to donate land to a community land trust and so forth? So that's a work group that we definitely also need, is the people who potentially could finance and sponsor projects. I think as a planning commission, there are a lot of things we can start looking at within the ordinances, starting with the December meeting and going forward. And this will focus a lot. There are things in our ordinances that are clear barriers to creating an affordable housing project right now. And I think we have to look at how we can fix that to remove those barriers. I guess related to that is that housing and open space are really very intimately involved. And as a planning commission, I think we need to start looking at replacing our cluster housing ordinance, which really isn't working well, with something that's much more of a performance-based standard approach that would incentivize people to do subdivisions that include affordable housing and also open space preservation. So that's got to work for the planning commission, that's got to work for some community work groups, and hopefully by, you know, in 3 or 4 months, we can make some progress in terms of gelling around some ideas.
Correct. John, can I add something here? I think that's really important, that context, for both also Charlene and Dave, and you know, Lee is here as well. But part of the whole reason that we wanted to set up this housing forum was to get information in order to craft the beast of the subdivision ordinances that we're going back through now, and craft it well. So by getting this information, the clarity of what you guys are bringing to the table, I think that'll help. But there's a lot of pieces in this big moving thing. But our overall goal is, you know, to codify that really in ordinance, right? So just wanted to say that.
Yeah, well, definitely. And I think that's, you know, why we need the elected officials to be on board with us from the start. Charlene, do you have suggestions of other steps that other communities have used to get the process moving?
Not at this point, because I don't think that an organization like mine or any other nonprofit organization can come in and help you until you know who you're serving and what you want. And then you can remove the barriers. Be mindful that you can set up zones that are strictly to achieve attainable housing, and you can limit it to nonprofits or governmental entities that have experience in this. You are at the driver's seat here. You can set that up, and you don't have to open yourself up for any developer that wants to come in. You can restrict it to those that can really help you attain what you want to attain.
All right.
I think one of the things that has been really prevalent in the conversations about housing in Boulder is basing attainable housing on some kind of performance-driven standard rather than arbitrary, you have to have this many square feet this far from the road. I think this approach is more flexible, it's more creative, and it's more likely to preserve the character of the community that everybody feels very protective about. So I think we're off to a very good start that way.
And that's definitely, you know, in the conversation of the Planning Commission with Lee as we go forward into the subdivision standards. So that's great.
I think one thing that, Dad Pence has a question.
What does performance mean when you're setting
performance in terms of performance standards?
Yeah.
Well, what is performance based?
Sort of like with the commercial standards, how we had the commercial development standards, there's like a checklist sort of. So it could be that a project, like, you gain points almost for being affordable, and then you have to reach a total, like you get a score on each individual item, and then you reach a total at the end. And so you might gain points for things like affordability or deed restrictions or things that we deem are are important furthering this goal.
Yeah.
That's why we, this is Colleen Thompson. That's why we work with Lee Nellis, because Lee's the one that's helped us. And that came from the first meetings that we had when Lee came, is that instead of worrying about the zoning and what we don't have, and we are going to have to change that, but developing standards for the things that we want as far as the commercial. And what was the other one that we did for, we did the commercial standards and we did another one. Well, that was the commercial standard, but we did home.
RFDRs?
Home-based businesses. I also want to say my comment too is I'd like to see this meeting that we have, the two-hour meeting. I'd like to listen to David and Charlene for maybe a half an hour. I think what I'd like to see at this meeting is to be able to set a direction at the end of the two-hour meeting as far as where we want to go with groups. And as we go into the first of the year, what those groups are going to accomplish from what we've learned from Dave and Charlene. That's what I would like to see.
One thing, Charlene, I think will really help. I think we need to fire up people's imaginations by giving some good examples, not saying that Boulder should copy it, but some of the things other communities have been able to do, especially communities that are in our immediate area. And because I think it'll really inspire people. You know, one thing we haven't talked about at all is housing rehabilitation, which you did in the Tropic. So I think mentioning some of those, not as recommendations, but as examples of what's possible, would really be helpful to get people thinking about a better future.
Well, and that's a very good idea. And I can certainly do that. Dave, I know that, are you going to touch base on the USDA money that is available that, we just got some of it that I apply for everything and generally and get a fair share of money. But Dave, are you going to talk about that and the USDA money? Because it can be used for rehabs. It can't be used for,
oh, yes,
training, but it can be used for rehabs because we just got some. So
that's right. The 504 program.
Yes.
It's underutilized in Utah. And it consists of both loans and grants, and it's a great tool. I wish we used it more. And there's a lot of programs at USDA. One of the concerns I do have is a lot of their direct loan programs. Well, in fact, I think virtually all of them, the house cannot be designed for income production. So I have a little bit of a concern about artisans that work at home being able to qualify. And I think that's a very important part of Boulder's character. So I hope we don't end up discouraging people from being home-based entrepreneurs. I understand why we want to avoid it to some degree, partly because of the character of spaces and so on, but also that it is primarily a housing program. But
I think that's really important, Dave, because, you know, there's also in some of the younger generation that's coming in, you have a younger generation that wants to do small scale ag, but they also make probably the majority of their money from some home online business that they're creating as well.
And I think that I've been looking at this a little bit because of this meeting. The language is the house can't be designed for income production. So if you're running an online business and you're using a computer and a telephone, just like almost everybody does, but you're using it for your income production. That's not, that doesn't mean the house was designed for income production. So I think the language is not as restrictive as it used to sound like, partly because our technology has changed.
Yeah.
Good, very good point. Since we're getting close to the 8 o'clock here, logistics, Peg had suggested that if at all possible, we get all the, if people have got PowerPoint slides that they want up on the screen during the meeting, we try to get them all to Peg in advance so she could put them into a single PowerPoint file. That open multiple files and switch around. Will that work for you, Charlene and Dave?
Yes, that would be fine. Another point I did want to make is, Dave, I think you and I need to point out the negatives of some of this, these options, as well as all the positives. I think we're not going to do the town any benefit if you don't know all of the pros and cons to working with this stuff, because it's not all just, you know, sunshine and roses. It's not.
Yeah, that's great. That would be really valuable for this community.
I agree. I think one of the worst things we could do is get people into a project that totally goes against the grain of the community or the family or whatever. I think the more people know about what they're getting into, the more successful it'll be.
I had a question about, I think that Lee is going to be at our meeting, and I'm wondering if he's going to be on it, one of our speakers too. Have you considered that? Or, I mean, is Lee still going to be coming to our meeting? Lee, are you going to come?
Hello. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm having issues here on the laptop end. So, Matt, can people hear me?
Yes, they can hear you, and we can still see the
I do intend
the
to be there. I'm on the 17th. And I think that the most effective thing that I can do is listen and learn like everyone else, and then answer questions to the extent that they come up and we have the time to do it. But I don't want to talk about, I want to talk about the fact that we might need to change the ordinances, but I don't want to talk about specifics. I want people to absorb the message that Charlene and Dave bring about the possibilities. And then if the Planning Commission feels we go out of the meeting with momentum, that the community is at least potentially going to say, hey, yes, make some changes to make attainable housing more easy, then we'll go. And I intend before the next Planning Commission meeting, so even, you know, a week before the forum, I'm going to prepare another memo to the Planning Commission that is basically just a laundry list of next steps, ranging from easy to not quite as easy. and all of you can have that in mind so that we have a head start. And then I really think, let people listen to Charlene, let people listen to Dave. And then you also have someone from the council speaking, right? We have at least 2 cents in from the town council, from, I think, the county commission, the school. Let that flow. Don't worry too much about how we're going to fiddle with the ordinances. We have to. Everyone knows that we cannot do attainable housing under the certain circumstances that we have now. It's essentially impossible. But if the community gives the Planning Commission a direction and says, hey, look, deal with this, then you will have a list, like I said, ranging from things that are not really very hard to do to things that are a little more difficult, not necessarily technically difficult, because none of it is, but there are going to be some things that are more politically difficult than others. But I think that that's how I would like to play it, is that I'll be happy to participate and answer questions, but you all hear plenty from me. And it's time to let the energy that, you know, Charlene and Dave can bring, let people hear about successful projects and successful organizations, like the one that Charlene works for, you know, and create a little positive energy about the idea. You know, if at the end of the meeting, everybody says, nope, 5-acre lots are it, then I suggest that Saturday we all take a hike. If you get a sense from the community that, hey, yeah, we can accept some changes in order to address this, then you'll have a laundry list in hand that you can begin working on at the December meeting.
Great. Thank you, Lee. Before John, we go sort of start doing the final logistics, I just want to see, Charlene or Dave, do you have questions for us that you need answered tonight, or are you pretty good?
I think I'm good. I kind of know, I think, what you're asking and what you'd like to see. Dave, I would like to get together with you and make sure that we're not duplicating in the essence of being respectful of everybody's time.
I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
You're based in Provo, right?
I live in St. George.
Oh.
And I have an office in St. George and one in Orem.
Well, I'm going to be in Boulder and Escalante probably starting Saturday afternoon. I have a meeting in Bluff on Friday, and I usually take the Burr Trail to get back over to Boulder and Escalante. And I'll probably hang out there for a couple of days at least. I'm not going to go clear to St. George, but I'll meet you in Orem sometime.
You have my email.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to be practicing some of what I'm preaching, because I'm trying to start a construction project in Boulder. So
excellent.
And okay. Maybe yeah. It'll be affordable. I don't know.
Great. Well, thank you both for your time this evening. John, what else do we have left here?
Thank you.
You need to speak your name, Laura.
Oh,
and
Laura McCarrick.
Yeah, Laura, you come to
a mic. It was briefly mentioned that we were going to have an educator speak for the school. Do we know who that's going to be?
Unfortunately, the meeting is at the same time as the
school board meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
We may get a written statement from the
superintendent. I can give a comment on that if you would like, since you asked me to follow up on that.
Yeah, Elizabeth, please.
Superintendent Dodds was very interested in participating. Unfortunately, it's scheduled at the same time as their monthly school board meeting on the third Thursday of each month. And so he is preparing something and said he'll send it to me to pass on to you all, or he can send it to you directly and he'd just like somebody to read it at the meeting, and then he'll participate in any follow-up discussions or groups that come out of it.
Great. Thank you for that, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, one of the other things that I think would be useful, and we had a brief conversation about it, and that is helping the school district put together employer-assisted housing. And there's ways for school districts to do that. It stabilizes it reduces the turnover in teaching staff and has a lot of advantages. And I've outlined a couple of those programs for counties in Utah. Nobody's done one yet though, but I think it's very workable. And it would be fun to get that underway. I think it's very affordable and stabilizing. I think we just need the first example to break ground and then it'll take off.
Okay. Great, thank you. John, where are we at?
This is Jennifer Bach, and I just have a request that any of the handouts that are going to be made available at the meeting on the 17th, like ahead of time for people to look through, also be put online as well, please.
Yes.
Yeah,
please. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, I think we've gone very quickly through. I think the only other thing would be whether we need some just informal Q&A and looking at some of these documents as a that we never have time in our regular meetings to do so, in which case we could sit around. I think we pretty much covered the official meeting, but since we are noticed and it's open to the public, we can continue our conversation with the board. So we want to do it.
I feel good about what we've done here, and I mean, I think we answered questions. I'm fine with ending it.
I feel like I have some logistical questions. Give me a minute to collect them. I did talk to Caroline Hoyt, and she said that we could use any of the applications that they put in too as
examples.
So,
okay. Very good. How much do I think we're almost preaching to the choir in terms of talking about the quantitative problem, that when you look at this is both getting to the Garfield County Community Moderate Income Housing Plan, the problem that the median wages doesn't get you into the median rental house, let alone the median purchase. But I think we're preaching to the choir. I think everybody really knows we have a problem.
Yeah.
It's more focusing on ways that it can be solved. And like I say, I think we really need to look at multiple approaches. You know, philanthropy is going to be important. And again, that's the housing providers work group. Is somebody who would really love to get a huge tax deduction by donating. Could we be as lucky as Moab was when somebody donated the land for the Arroyo Crossing project? Could we be that lucky? I don't know. We simply have to ask, but we have to look at philanthropy, we have to look at grants, we have to look at USDA programs, we have to look at, one thing that shocked me was when I looked at the Moline Walker Housing Fund, and I think 40% is supposed to go to rural counties, and it's the same thing, it's undersubscribed. People aren't going for the money. So we've got lots of routes that we can be exploring. And I think we're all gonna be kind of information overload by the end of this meeting.
A couple questions I have. I know we have people scheduled to come, so certainly we shouldn't do this if it's gonna interfere with that, but I wonder about maybe starting the meeting earlier. I've been hearing people talk a lot about it. I think a lot of people are planning to come and have a lot of questions. And she can't get here earlier than that. Okay, well then we might just go quite late.
Well, I think
let me go ahead and finish your, I should let you finish, Elena. And my only comment to Elena was basically, Charlene is coming from St. George on that day. And so she will hopefully be able to make it by 7. So,
okay. Just to answer your question, sorry.
Yeah, although, you know, that's what I was actually talking about, whether we start at 6 or 6:30 to have the informal open house, because a lot of this can be one-to-one conversations before we start the meeting. And if we know something that's going to be covered in detail, the meeting, we could say, can you just wait? And we'll talk about that later. But a lot of it is going to be just one-to-one conversations to address people's questions and concerns and bring them up to speed. So how do people think about maybe starting like at 6 for the open house format?
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Based on the informality of Boulder Town and so on, and then we can get serious at 7.
Yeah.
Peg is waving her hand.
Keep in mind that your regular meetings are going to start at 6 o'clock. As of next November 10th. So just that's sort of an aside. Speaking of logistics, you guys are sitting in the room right now. We've had these computer glitches tonight. First of all, I think we do have to sort of reorient the room in some way so that the speakers are highlighted with the camera, you know, that they're very visible and highlighted. I'm not sure how we accomplish that best. And then the Planning Commission itself may need to sit in the audience. I think about those kind of things because that'll determine the setup of where the camera is placed, the little owl is placed, the computer is placed, the desk is. You can't move that big table very much in this room, but we have to come to terms with what the room's going to look like and how many people can really hold in there.
So are we seriously going to try to do a Zoom meeting for this?
I don't feel like we should, but.
Well, we have people who aren't able to attend who are out of town. I think it would not be really a Zoom meeting as much as an opportunity for anyone who can't be here in the room
to hear us. Yeah, I would agree, and it is going to be recorded also.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we did maybe a non-video and just let the Zoom recording happen because it's a nice quality recording that can be uploaded, but I think the arrangement of the room physically with camera is going to be difficult.
As long as we capture the audio, that's the most important thing then.
Well, here's one suggestion, and that is we use the big room for all our displays, paperwork, mixing people in there, and then we sort of use this the town hall smaller room for the actual speaking, and then those who want to attend to those specific things come in. But that way, it might take out some of the background sound and focus more just on the talks. I don't know if that sounds reasonable or doable, but that's what I'm thinking.
I'm afraid if you clear out the big room, if you had people convening in there for open house situation, and you tell them, okay, now we're going to start the meeting, the sound will be horrible if people are coming and going out of the room. So. It either has to say, okay, we're going to stop this activity and start that activity, or,
Well, who's our tech person?
Not me.
So that might be something we can talk about at in 2 weeks at our November meeting or figure out in between. We're not going to figure it all out right now, but definitely something we need to focus on. Yeah.
Right. I just wanted you to take a look around at the room right now and realize what you're dealing with, space-wise and everything.
Peg, would it be feasible to have the camera in the big meeting room? Because this really, I think this room's too small. And you're right, with this table format, it doesn't set the flavor I want for the meeting. So I think maybe the other meeting room is more conducive to having a speaker and audience situation. Could we just have the owl in there to capture the whoever's at the podium?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. I would need help with someone who knows how to set that up better. Like Cheryl has done that for other kinds of purposes. And Elizabeth is saying that April will be back by then, and she's a good tech person, so she'll help us out.
How obligated do we feel to have this available electronically? Personally, I don't feel obligated at all.
I don't either.
I think, if, like I said, for me personally, the most important thing is audio. If you, as far as getting set up for audio, that's all I have to say.
I will say that the projection of a PowerPoint will be clearer on the screen in the room you're in right now. We don't have a good projection set up for documents or photographs or maps in that other room.
Charlene, how many is your presentation going to be visuals intensive? Is it going to be more speaking?
Mine's going to actually. Pictures speak 1,000 words, and I'm going to have a PowerPoint. But couldn't you just, if you're going to do a Zoom, you could just share screen on the PowerPoint.
Yeah, that's the advantage of doing the Zoom is
that capability. Yeah.
So maybe what we're talking about then is audio for recording and screen sharing, but no use, just not use the OWL. So they wouldn't be able to see the speakers, but they would hear the, could hear the audio and see anything, any slides. Would that be reasonable?
Yes.
There are a handful of people who are seasonally out of town. I mean, like Jackie Smalley is not going to come from California for this meeting, but I'd love to. You know, I mean, that's the only reason I kind of at least have the option for people to hear the meeting.
Yeah, I'm all for hearing the meeting.
Okay, why don't we focus on that then? So audio and screen share.
Okay.
And as far as setup, I guess,
yeah. Move the tables on that wall, with that wall.
Yeah, we'll see if we can move the tables around and get some more chairs in here so that feels more like a forum rather than a official meeting.
Should we all five plan to come, however, much earlier than the meeting starts to do some setting up, arranging of chairs and tables and things?
Yeah,
sure.
Should we come at like 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
On
17?
Yeah.
I think we'll be fine.
You guys want to go?
Sure.
Okay.
Is that one work for you or does it?
Do we have a budget to pay for a little bit of refreshments for the open house?
We have, Planning Commission has got a budget for meetings and trainings and whatnot. So, yes.
We don't have a budget, did you say?
We can get some trays of cookies or something.
Yeah,
that'd be good. Again, I'll set a more informal tone.
Well, you also have a budget for making copies, so that'd be the other larger budget item. Is depending on what your speakers are bringing that people want handouts for. Think about that. How many physical handouts you want to have available and printed versus things that are available online, which I think is the more important thing, frankly. I'm just asking you to think about that one because we'll need time to deal with that.
Okay, we're clear on the logistics that need to be taken care of. What else is on your list, John?
That's pretty well it, unless people have it. People, especially on the Planning Commission or in the audience, have questions that, you know, they want to talk about right now or make sure are answered in the meeting. I think we've really got, we're going to come up with a lot. And as I say, I think the real key is going to be to, at the end of the meeting, have some identified work groups, have some volunteers for those work groups, and some deadlines of when something's going to happen.
Great. Yep.
Maybe one thing we need to do at the next meeting is figure out which of us is going to kind of lead each of those work groups so we can have some sort of announcement about that at the end and organize those work groups in some way.
We can do it right now.
Okay. So for organization purposes, for our November, I don't know what date it is, meeting before the forum, what's our upcoming business for the forum that needs to be taken care of?
That's the November 10th meeting?
Yes. Given what we've talked about today, we need to hammer out logistics, number one.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
Logistics on what we're doing as far as Zoom and, I mean, it seems like...
Set up room, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're pretty well have resolved that. So we're saying we'll have the meeting in, well, we have both rooms reserved. Preferably, I think, given the site, the possible attendance, I would prefer to do it in the big meeting room with a setup just for audio recording and available of online screen sharing for people who are online. That way they can listen, they can see the slides, not try to do Q&A. if people want to do, who are not there, they can always do Q&A through the chat. If they have a specific question.
I think that's a little hard. I think
the screen part is difficult in the other room. I mean, the screen showing we don't have a screen in the other room.
Okay. So you think maybe we should do the meeting in this room?
Because there's a projector.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll have to set up the small folding chairs and take rows and push the tables over.
Yes. Well.
Okay. We might as well resolve the logistics right now because we've got a few things on our November 10th agenda. So, okay, this room where we have the projector. We have the, we don't use the all for video Zoom. We start at 6 o'clock. This meeting set up more as a forum rather than a business table. What other logistics do we have to deal with?
And then we'll deal with the handouts and how to what kind of handout the house will have and how many and so on and so forth. We can decide that at the meeting.
How many people, my recollection, I remember coming to housing meetings some years ago and this room was packed. I mean, we could easily have 30 people in the audience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's some years ago.
Uh-huh. We'll have more than that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good. We can do more than 30 packed into that room.
Okay.
How about 50?
Yeah.
I think so for handouts, we would have 50 copies of the work group final report for sure. What other
information on how to contact it could be included in that far as contacting us. I was looking on the website. If they need to, send comments, the planning commission
Okay.
Are we willing to have our own personal phone numbers on the website?
They can have my email.
John, I'm thinking for as far as handouts, using the big room where you're going to have your tea and cookies on a table and maybe some other tables with specific display items. You have room there for handouts as well. Maybe not 50 copies of everything, but I don't know, like specific handouts of specific stuff that's not necessarily what the speakers are. It's not the PowerPoint stuff. It's extraneous other items.
Okay, and I think that there are key, Charlene and Dave, if you've got things that you want to have as handouts, if you can get them to me, we can get those copied in advance of the meeting.
And any handouts, I'll bring myself and I can bring 50 copies. I generally do not share my PowerPoint presentations because they've been plagiarized before and used out of context. Mm-hmm. So I generally don't do that. But handouts, I will be happy to bring 50, 75 copies of anything that I can make available to you.
Great, sounds great, and this, got it. That you don't want your PowerPoint shared. So I think the thing that I think is most important for handouts is just like the hard numbers that Dave was saying about USDA loan programs, what their dollar limits are, and so forth, because if you hear it in a speech, you're not going to remember the exact number after about three or four numbers. So those are important. Okay. Anything else in the logistics that we
can figure out the rest later.
I think I can bring copies of handouts as well.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So I think really at our official, our regular planning meeting, we just have to kind of confirm that nothing has changed from what we've agreed on tonight. And then I think, what's the assignments? Okay, Tina, you're going to
work on
publicity.
Yeah. Tess is already going to get together with me on that.
I'd like you or Colleen probably needs to, your key in terms of giving continuity to all the work that was done in the past. That's the real key role.
I don't really need an assignment. I mean, you don't have to find me an assignment. Well, I just plan on being here.
Okay.
Pulling everything in with everybody else.
I'm hoping that Lena will fall off in terms of the community work group.
Yeah.
Because I think that needs to have the people who are not retirees.
Yeah.
And what are you talking about a community work group? I don't understand.
I think we need to allow the people in the community who want to participate,
right,
to meet and talk about things like, okay, is our priority housing for individual singles? Is our priority housing for families with children who need multiple bedrooms? Is our priority rentals?
And that's something to clarify. We're going to organize that. Like, we're going to find those people at the meeting and meet again afterwards.
Right.
I would be very happy to do the work group for the
encouraging. Laura Zoe and Lexi and
I'll rally the people.
Thank you.
I think the thing is too is that our last meetings when we did not have any problems with people volunteering to be on the work groups. You know what I'm saying? We had plenty of people. There are plenty of people that are going to be interested. So I don't think that we need to rally them. I think all we need to do is set that out. Well, as far as promotion and that people are going to come and I don't think we're going to have a problem with that.
I think we'll get plenty of people here for sure. I'm not sure that, I think some of the actual demographic we're trying to target might need to be encouraged a little bit and looped in.
That's what the cookies are for.
Yeah. That's what the cookies are for, yeah.
And I'm most interested in working with the housing providers because I think that's the key that if something's going to happen, we're going to need people who are willing to bring resources to the table. So that's probably where I'll put my effort.
Do we want to have any sort of at the end of the meeting? Do we want to have any sort of like we'll organize the work groups to happen after that? But do we want to have any sort of like data collection, some sort of way to gauge, because if our goal of this meeting is to gauge where people are at and we have them listen to speakers, do we want to gauge where they're at in some way before they leave?
I think, and I guess that's where I have the problem, you know, setting up with almost before the meeting.
Because
you know, we are going to know much more after the meeting, and people are going to I want to be involved.
Well, I don't think we should set up the work groups like the participants, but it might make sense for us to set up like, okay, Elena's going to do the work group about the who is interested topic. So then that way at the meeting, we can say, if you want to be part of that work group, come find Elena.
Yeah.
So they know where to go. It's not just like we have these work groups and they're like, how are you? You know?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that's way ahead of where
we're going to
be at the end of the meeting.
Well, no, but I think
we're not going to know what groups. I mean, I don't know that at the end of the meeting that we're going to know. I mean, I think we should take December meeting and take what we've learned from November and take it into December so that at the first of the year, rolling.
Well, yeah, nothing much is going to happen between Thanksgiving and New Year's anyway. But I really, really want to make sure we use the time effectively and have a horizon that in a year we've made some progress.
Yeah.
And really that means that we need to make significant progress by next spring.
I do think it would be smart to try to capture the energy that exists at the meeting in some way.
Yeah.
Like having some sort of like, this is how we're going to move forward plan or a suggestion about something to have people feel heard, because then a couple months go by and we've discussed it and not as many people come to our planning commission meetings as will be at this meeting.
Well, what happened with the last housing forum bunch 5 years ago, which worked really well, you have your initial meeting, you have a sign up sheet.
Yeah.
And then you follow it up with more focused work meetings on specific subjects that people are interested in. And that's how we got to where we're at now.
Right. So then we need to have sign-up sheets. We need to have.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Yeah.
And as I say, it's not cast in stone, but by the end of the meeting, you know, we might amend the sign-up sheets a little bit, depending on what happens. But I think I really do want to come out of it with an action plan.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what we'll focus on in December for our December meeting, is we'll digest all that information and we'll put together some actionable plan that moves us forward into 2023.
And Lee Nellis has promised us a memo with a laundry list of things to do. So I'm looking forward to
it. Never a shortage.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, Jennifer.
There are three notifications at the bottom of the screen that may or may not be comments. Check those out. Please make sure they're not missing anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Just sort of
can you wiggle down, Tina, to the more dot, dot, dot? Or, yeah.
Thank you.
I can't hear what that question was.
Yeah, who is talking? What's going on for some people?
Check the chat. It's the one with the red next to it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Did you repeat what was said? I don't think the recording would have picked that up either.
Well, we were just asked to check the chat to see if there's anything there. And there's one from Elizabeth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then Peg saying that, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, there's yeah, it's we're clear.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay, so I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you, Dave, for showing up. And looking forward to your talks on November 17th and everything. I think you're going to provide a lot of clarity for this town, which is what we really need right now for everybody. So much appreciated. Thank you, John, Tina, and the rest of the commission for taking the brunt of this work on to make this happen. And that's all I got. So I don't know if we have to officially make a motion to end a working meeting or we can just sign off, Peg.
I second that motion, Elena. You.
All
right.
Tina
Carl. All
right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. I think you're onto something.
Thanks.
Thank you, Charlene.